You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, beer.
Yeah.
No, really, that's all there is. Beer. And then beer.
That's fine.
Oh, yeah, and a bunch of stories you won't hear anywhere else. And our travel guy will take you through Blue Ball and Intercourse to get to paradise. Let's meet the friends. Whenever she's here, this is the happiest place on earth. Our producer, the host of Sweet Life, Brooke Peterson.
Hey, Phil. So, the happiest place on earth is pissing off a lot of people right now. Maybe you're one of them.
Don't be afraid. It's just the host of the new show, Thrash Pie Radio. It's Ted Thrash Pie Pritchard.
But I've got perfect case for, you know, you got to listen to what your grandma tells you, Phil. I'll tell you all about it.
All right, good. And he's the guy who invented all those Breakfast of Champions punchlines. It's Chris Martin.
Everyone's favorite breakfast cereal is being recalled. I'll tell you which one and why.
If you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks a lot. And thanks for leaving a comment and then a 5-star review. You're helping the program by doing that because in between enormous bowls of cereal, the folks over at iTunes read your comments and they notice your 5-star reviews, too. It does make a difference. And don't forget, while you're there, subscribe. Thank you very much. So let's get things started. Brooke, nice to see you once again.
Thank you very much.
All right, let's see. Where are we going here? Oh, are we talking about Disneyland?
Yeah, man.
What are they doing to piss people off?
They're hiking their prices again. Oh. 35% increase.
Does it just have to happen as a matter of practice, or can they at some point lower prices?
I don't think that's in their wheelhouse to lower prices.
No?
I don't think so. I mean, that's not happening. Well, this is actually just for season pass holders. They have, they're calling it variable pricing. I guess they think that makes it sound legit.
Do they roll a guy out in a tuxedo who says, variable pricing?
Variable pricing.
Just like that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So they have, they went from a season pass being $779.
Ooh, that's a
now,
lot.
Yeah, already a lot. Now, $1,000. $49.
Holy mackerel.
It's killing me.
Yeah.
That's intense. And then, but you can have, you have the option of getting like a, I guess an abridged version of the season pass if you include blackout dates.
I usually pay extra to get abridged.
Give me a toaster with that.
Well, all right. So the people who buy these, they must live nearby. And they just pop over whenever on a whim. Hey, mm-hmm. Want to go to Disneyland tonight? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Or in the morning or whatever.
I know somebody who is just like that. She goes. She must go at least 3 or 4 times a month.
Or they go over and they have dinner at that restaurant next to the Pirates of the Caribbean where the food is very good, but it's about $60 a plate. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not cheap to go there no matter what.
And they live in Orange County, right?
Orange County, California. Yeah, they got to live nearby.
You go all the time.
Or a student, you know, they're a student at a nearby college, something like that, and they hang out with their sorority sisters or fraternity bros, and they turn it into a regular party
stop. I don't know why anybody would want to do that, though, between the parking and the crowds and just, like, the hassle of getting there. I'm a chicken. I don't know. I'll do it once a year, maybe.
Yeah.
I've only been once ever.
Do they still do, you know, Flash Mountain? You know,
you ever
see those pictures?
Right. I don't know. I think they put the clamp down on that. No, here's what you can do. If you don't know Disneyland, or maybe you know the Disney World over in Orlando, but in Disneyland, they have this additional area, and I forget what it's called, but you don't need a ticket to get into it. It's lined with restaurants, and it's downtown Disney, I think is what it's called. So you can park in the downtown Disney area, and if you have a season pass, There's a station for the monorail, which is one of those high-tech, 1959 standards, trains that rides around above the entire park. You can go up the ramp and get on the train with your season pass, and you're in the park. And you could stay for as long as you need to, and then you can get out again and have dinner over at the Main Street, or get back in your car and go to In-N-Out Burger.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There is some good news. If you don't mind not being able to go during certain blackout dates, you can get a season pass for the low, low price of $849.
Oh.
I'm there.
That's much better.
What's it cost for a season just a single ticket? If you were to just to go for one park, a single ticket.
$99.
See, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And I've heard that they have a financing plan for families.
Financing
plan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, wow.
This is the whole supply and demand thing. As long as the park is packed, they could charge whatever they want.
Sure.
If the numbers start going down and all of a sudden they're at 40% capacity, then you're going to see the prices come down to $50 for a couple of weeks.
Well, the irony is that they're actually doing this hoping to thin out their crowds. They're saying it's too crowded.
It's like a bar. You get too many people in the bar, and you can't serve enough drinks, and you don't make as much money as you would if there were two-thirds of the same amount of people.
We're too crowded. Let's raise the prices is code for pass me another cigar.
Yeah, right.
I heard they were actually just trying to recoup the losses for the Lone Ranger still.
Oh! All right, fine.
Very truthful.
Next story now. I always think, you know what? I don't know who owns the rights to whatever would be discovered if I just got a wild hair in me and started digging a giant hole in my backyard. And if I found something of value down there, who owns that? And what would I do if I did find something either of monetary or historic value? And every now and then you hear about people finding stuff on their property.
The props.
The property, yes. And you have an example of this, don't you,
Paul? We do. A farmer was digging in his soybean field, just doing his job, making way for a gas pipeline or something like that, when he comes across a woolly mammoth.
Really?
Yes.
Just hanging out,
just
being its woolly mammoth
snooze.
Self.
Mm-hmm. Tucked away in his backyard, pretty much. And so, yeah, they have dated this to be 10 to 15,000 years old.
Right. Yes. Okay. That's like the La Brea Tar Pits era. What do they call that? There's an era for that one.
Paleolithic.
Is it paleo?
I don't know.
You
don't
sounds
know.
Good. I like that. We'll go with that.
It's one of the eras.
Neanderthal.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's
10 to 15,000 doesn't even seem like that long ago.
No, it's no, that's saber-toothed tiger time. So it's
right.
like real
it's
close
like
to
after
us.
Dinosaurs, but...
Oh, yeah.
Actually, more like just before us.
Okay.
As opposed to after dinosaurs, which were several million years ago.
Right.
We were around 10 to 15,000 years ago.
Yes, but we were quite a bit less evolved.
We were nude and hairy.
I would argue that point. I don't think we've evolved much since then.
Well, I have to reach down to get to the ground with my knuckles. Let's put it that way.
Well, that's a good point. That's good. Good move. Good move.
All right. Good. So what's he going to do with this woolly mammoth? Does the state own it? Who owns it?
He called the local university. So a bunch of paleontologists came and ascended or descended upon his land.
And as they're acting erudite and academite and all those other things, that they do, they will pretend like no money was supposed to ever change hands, and they'll just scoop it up and take it to the university.
Right, thank you.
Yeah, I see no
and
dollar
hope they
signs
never
here.
See a bill.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, so
I'm just going to take this off your hands. We'll
I wonder who owns mineral rights. What state? You know, when you buy property in California, do you own mineral rights?
Yeah, I don't know. If I dig and I strike oil.
There you go. So start digging in your backyard. Maybe you'll know something.
Everybody should do that. Come on, get out the shovels. It's good for your back. You know? Salt of the earth.
It's a grand idea.
Start working hard, you stop worrying about your troubles.
It's my money.
Okay. Now, into the wilderness, farther from the soybean farm, we get into the forest where the bears like to hang around. And I think we all have a worry that we're going to be confronted by a bear when we're out in the forest, don't
well,
we?
Well, you know, what's a bear do in the woods?
Yeah.
That's the big question. This is a great one. And you always hear stories about guys hunting, you know, and this guy's a bow hunter. And he was saved from a bear attack by advice given him by his grandmother.
Oh.
Make sense?
Not
so
yet.
So what your grandma told you?
Yeah.
It's going to make sense in a minute. So years earlier, she had given him evidently some sound advice should he be accosted by a bear in the woods. The guy's name is Chase Delro. He's bow hunting in Minnesota. He was surprised and attacked by a bear who whacked him one with a paw,
ooh,
bit him on the head.
Yikes.
Then kind of backed up because he was probably yelling or something and was getting ready to do his second attack, where our pal Chase remembered what his grandma told him.
Uh-huh.
And when that bear came up there, he shoved his fist down that bear's throat.
What?
Which made the bear choke and run off.
No kidding.
Wow.
That's what Chase says.
So he's thinking, all right, I've got three options. I could lay here and die.
Yeah.
I could roll up in a ball and pretend to be dead, which may or may not work. We don't know. Or I could lose my arm.
Or remember what Grandma told me real quick.
Man, he must have had...
He still has both hands?
Yeah.
I don't think it's just one. He shoved it down there. I don't know how he got it out.
Well, think about the ninja skill he had to shove that fist in there fast enough before the bear had a chance to chomp.
Well, the thing is, there's nobody around with an iPhone taking pictures of it either, so Chase could be, you know...
Making it up?
He could I don't know. He just could have gotten real lucky.
Maybe he got real drunk and he fell on something that
perhaps
pierced his skull?
Think about it if it's like... You know, if it's a grizzly bear, are you going to make it out of there with a grizzly bear?
I don't know.
Or are you going to just strip all the meat off your forearm, dragging your hand back out of his throat?
Yeah.
You know
reach back and grab onto its tonsils and grab on and start ripping.
There you go.
It's my only shot.
So what's the best way to get away from a bear?
Run downhill.
See? I knew you'd knew.
I know that. My dad used to tell me this. He said, if don't run uphill from a bear, they run faster uphill than they do downhill because their front legs are shorter than their back legs. They'll go head over a tail if they try to run downhill. So you run downhill and don't lose your footing because the bear will, out of self-preservation, stop running and wait for you to fall and hit your head on a rock and be unconscious. Then he'll walk down daintily and eat you.
Yeah. Super snack.
Yeah.
You're right there ready.
Hopefully there's a hill around so you can run down it.
All this talk about eating stuff is making me hungry. Hungry for a nice big bowl of cereal. But wait, there's an important recall you may or may not know about, and it's about a very popular cereal that if you don't have in your pantry, I just don't know what's the matter with you. And that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Oh, are you glad you're here today?
Huh?
Let me just put words in your mouth. It's a great day on the program. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Brooke and Ted and Chris are here. And in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to go all Oktoberfest on y'all.
Yeah.
I think that's how they say it. All right.
On y'all.
They aren't listening, are they? I don't want to upset anybody.
Y'all is the best word ever.
Yeah. Well, you're from the South. Ted's from the South.
Oh, yes.
Chris, you're from the hinterlands, right?
I'm from the North, Northwest. Yeah. We don't get words like y'all for another, I think, 5 or 6 years, and then we catch up.
That's right. Okay. Now, if you're trendy or not, you most likely had a bowl of which cereal on your breakfast table?
Well, you're gonna go ahead and take the punch out of it like that?
No.
I was going to have a little bit of a lead up.
All right. Pretend I didn't say anything. So, Chris, you have this story about something or other.
Yeah, well, it happened yesterday. I have a story that came out of yesterday. General Mills, which is one of the largest breakfast cereal companies.
They produce all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. They decided they were going to recall nearly 2 million boxes of Cheerios.
Get out of here.
I would have never guessed.
No. Cheerios and Honey Nut Cheerios. So both brands.
I live for the Honey Nuts.
Why would they do that? Yeah. Am I going to get sick if I eat it?
You are, yes. Well, you have the potential for adverse health effects. It's really for people with wheat allergies or, celiac disease.
Oh,
there you go.
So the gluten thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the gluten thing that seems to be becoming more and more popular as of late.
Trendy.
They're saying that wheat flour was inadvertently introduced to the gluten-free oat flour system. So I guess there's like a cross-contamination where they had a certain set of machines that were separating out the Cheerios in their oat flour system, and somehow they got some wheat flour.
Oat flour, wheat flour.
Yeah, so they did the shredded wheat, and then they threw in the Cheerios without cleaning the bin.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
So now they're going, most of it is actually still in their warehouses, contained on pallets, so they'll just pull a lot of that from distribution, but there is some of it still on the store shelves.
And has Cheerios always been a gluten-free product?
You know, it sounds like it. I think that it's been written on the box as a gluten-free product for quite some time.
I noticed that, but I only noticed it recently.
Okay, so the question is it gluten-free if it doesn't have wheat or if it doesn't have oats?
If it doesn't have wheat.
Wheat flour, wheat. I think more specifically, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Cheerios is oats, right?
Correct, yeah. That's why there was a cross-contamination. So that's why normally it is gluten-free because it's an oat flour.
Right.
But somehow it must have gotten on the treadmill for the wheat flour as it was going down the line.
Yeah.
Shoddy workmanship.
Did they ever put out wheat Cheerios?
They call it an isolated incident.
Yeah.
So you won't be seeing this happening. They'll pull them off
Yeah,
put them back in the proper
well, good
processing.
Good for them for owning up to it. You know, that's kind of a...
They're just going to put those boxes and contain right in the back corner and wait a couple of years and then put them out there.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll get them on eBay for twice as much.
There you go.
Ye of little faith. Come on. You got to give them the benefit of the doubt. They have America's number one cereal outside of Captain Crunch.
Oh, I love Captain Crunch.
You know who Isabel Cruz is?
Isabel Cruz? No.
Oh, she sounds
kind of sexy.
Penelope
Cruz is
She's 22 years old. Oh. She's the adopted daughter of Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
Oh, all grown up?
Who we've seen naked together in a movie.
Ew. Tom Cruise? Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
Oh.
The Stanley Kubrick movie. Yeah, that's right. Eyes Wide Shut.
Something like that.
Yeah. Eyes Wide Shut.
Creepy movie.
Yeah. Anyway, Isabel... got married in London last month, September 18th, but Tom and Nicole were not there, and reporters wanted to know what the heck.
Ouch.
There were reports that Tom skipped the wedding because the groom-to-be is not a Scientologist, and he doesn't approve, but apparently that's not the case. In fact, Isabel and her then-boyfriend, Max, spent Thanksgiving and Christmas with Tom. They just wanted it to be a small event with a few friends and no parents. That was their deal. No parents.
So his parents are geeks, too.
Yeah, maybe. So TMZ says Tom was cool with that and even paid for the wedding and a party at a fancy hotel.
Attaboy, Tom.
So not invited.
No parents.
How about that? Don't invite your parents and they pay for it.
Dang.
I wish the hell I'd done that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Right.
Oh, man. Both
times.
Can you
imagine?
It's weird. Seems like it'd make it less impactful.
Yeah. You know what? No doubt Germany is going to come up in conversation when we talk beer in a little bit. But Germany, perhaps not as well known for this as it is for brewing beer. The chainsaw was invented by a German orthopedic surgeon back in 1830. He invented the chainsaw to cut the bones in people's jaws. Eventually, a bigger model was created to cut wood. So
I wonder if his had a little gas engine on the back.
Yeah.
So a little. I bet it had a foot pedal.
Well, 1830, what, did they have internal combustion engines
sure,
in 1830?
Yeah.
They did.
Steam-driven.
It was a steam-driven chainsaw.
Fulton.
Maybe it was a crank chainsaw. You cranked it fast enough just to get cut through the skin.
Wow.
And then, 1830, how do you run a chainsaw?
You just have to keep enough coal in it to keep it running.
Never mind that they didn't have much in the way of anesthesia in 1830.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's the thing. God, I can't even think about that.
Yes.
Break out the chainsaw, Doc. Yes. I got a bad molar.
Yeah, yeah. All I see is Laurence Olivier. Is it safe?
That was a freaky movie.
Oh, yeah. All right, so that's enough of me. Back to you guys. when we're talking about science and medical miracles, there's a story about a little kid, a baby who was, in a car accident?
A very serious head-on car crash. This is in Australia, in Melbourne. This 16-month-old little boy was decapitated internally.
What does that mean?
Internal decapitation is where the skull is detached from the spine. It's just that the head hasn't left the body.
Oh.
It's still had to get held together by the skin of the neck and the muscles of the neck.
Maybe some muscles, tendons or something, but it technically is decapitated.
Oh.
So, but through the miracle of modern science, they used a little bit of wire, a little bit of rib from him, and grafted his vertebrae back together. He is expected to make a full recovery.
Nice.
No disability. It's decapitated.
It's like John Bobbitt, only the head.
Yes.
Cute little boy.
So baby head reattachment.
Reattached. Reattached without any kind of... lifelong disability or anything.
That's some endorsement for that baby seat, isn't it? It kept the baby in place. But the head, you know, because when they're sitting in those baby chairs, their heads flop around a little bit. They can't really keep their head in place. But if head-on collision, it probably held the baby's body real tight. And the head
vertebrae.
Became a projectile.
Ugh,
and the only thing stopping it from going through the windshield was the skin of its neck.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And the muscles and tendons and
veins however developed they are at that age.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of flopping around on his shoulders till they got him to the hospital, right?
And the fact that he survived and that he wasn't instantly killed.
Miracle of science, right, because that's what happens back in the old days when they used to hang you, right? They just let go and it would just pop snap your neck and then you're done.
Right.
He survived.
It wasn't the suffocating that got you.
No. I don't know. Was it?
No.
No. That's why they put the knot right on the corn.
Yeah, you'd die on impact.
Yeah.
As your body fell and...
Snap it.
Yeah. Jerk of the rope.
Well, that hardly seems humane.
Well, that's why we don't do it anymore.
Oh, we're not doing it anymore?
I don't think so. I think a couple of states like Washington or something, you can request it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you can request it.
As one of the options, yeah, if you're on death row. There are still a couple of states.
Check the box, which one you'd rather have.
I remember because there was a story about a guy that found a loophole in the system. He said, fine, I'll take hanging. And then he went to the mess hall day in and day out because it's like a year before you're actually hung or put to the death penalty.
Yeah.
And he would eat as much food as he could get his hands on. He would eat everybody else's food. And he became so overweight that they actually found out that clinically they couldn't hang him because his body would separate from his head, which would then make it an inhumane way to die. Mm. So then they had to put him on a diet for another 8 to 12 months. So he got to live an extra year and then they hung him.
Smart guy.
Yeah.
Did you know that the number of 911 calls has gone way up in the past few years? You haven't any idea why it's happening?
No clue.
Because all of the people butt-dialing 911 with their smartphones. Every single smartphone these days has a little emergency button on it where you get past your desktop lock, and you could press down and you can make a 911 call.
Well, boom.
Yeah, they're getting all these butt calls. And hello? Hello? 911, can I help you? Hello?
Oh,
and I just hear your pocket talking back to them. All right. Fine. All right. Are you going to an Oktoberfest event? Or
probably.
Two? Yeah.
Haven't been
you
in a few years,
and,
but yes.
And you're going to drink a lot of beer.
Correct.
So let's celebrate beer, all kinds of it.
Woo-hoo!
We might even drink some of it right here in the studio.
I love my job.
Next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, it's Phil Hewlett and Friends, and you're listening to it. Hopefully that wasn't a surprise. But we're here. You might as well leave it on. Thanks. I'm Phil. Ted and Chris and Brooke are all here, and it's a great time to be talking about beer. It really is. It's October.
Correct.
Oktoberfest began in September for some odd reason. We'll find that out in a moment why. And also, I'm gaining more and more of a love for craft beer, and I think a lot of people are. And sooner or later, all beer will be considered craft beer because that's where marketing goes.
It's acquired
where
taste.
The people are, right?
Right.
Now, joining us live in the studio is the guy behind BeerOfTomorrow.com. He's a freelance beer writer and a certified Cicerone. It's John Verivi.
John!
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you guys.
He brought beer.
Yes. Well, we'll get into that in a minute. Now, John, remind us again what a Cicerone is. It's not deep-fried pork rinds, right?
It's not, though. sometimes I wish.
Yes.
No, it's like a sommelier, but for beer. So I'm trained to serve beer and judge beer and kind of guide people through the wide world of beer.
Mm-hmm. All right. So there's color, there's bouquet, there's all these different things. Do we use the same terminology that the wine peeps do?
Yeah, and more they're kind of crossing over. But the one biggest difference of tasting beer and tasting wine is when you taste wine, you go to wine tasting, you know, there's the spit bucket, and you have a sip, you swirl
spit
around,
bucket.
You spit it out.
Yeah.
Right. Not today.
Beer, you got to swallow the beer because there's flavors you taste after you swallow it.
Oh, the burp flavor.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. It's called retronasal. It's weird. But
yes.
It's breathing out after you swallow. You'll taste things that you don't get in your mouth. So
we had a soda guy in here once, and he was talking about a maple something or other bacon soda. And he said you drink it, and you taste the maple and the bacon, and then you burp up later, and you get something entirely different.
and it's horrible.
It's called acid reflux.
And it's delightful. But anyway, so a lot of beers do that, and you think, oh, great. Let me go pop open another one of those.
Yeah. It can be a little added bonus at the end of the bottle that, like, oh, that was a really good beer. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Enjoy it both ways.
Now, with the craft beers, do you get that obnoxious beer and cigarettes breath that you get when you're down in the Coors and the Bud Light and all of that sort of thing?
Not that I've noticed.
No?
But,
if you're drinking all the time, John, I got to clue you in on something, pal.
Now, we'll get a little more into the craft beers in a bit, but this is, as I pointed out, an especially wonderful time of year for beer lovers, thanks to the Germans and their Oktoberfest. Am I right? Is it the Germans that started all of
this? It is, yes. The Bavarians in Munich were the ones that actually started it, but they're all Germans now.
And am I also right that the Oktoberfest starts in September?
It does. It actually ends on the first Sunday of October. So the Munich Oktoberfest just ended a couple days ago.
So what the heck are we doing? All right, see you later.
But thankfully in America, they keep going all the way to Halloween. So.
Yeah, why not?
Right. Yeah, Americans make the most of it, that's for sure.
We commercialize everything, and the price of brats goes up, and all the sexy beer maiden costumes at the Halloween store start selling out for a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, is there some history behind that, or is that something we concocted?
The
beer maiden thing.
No, that's Oktoberfest started basically as a wedding for a Bavarian prince, and it was like this great, huge 16-day-long party that ended in a horse race.
Yeah.
All right.
And everybody had such a great time, and it was like in, I don't remember the exact date, in the 1600s, I believe.
All right, 17th century.
And everybody had such a great time. Like, let's do it again next year.
Yeah.
And they've been doing it. You know, I lied. It was 1810 is when it started.
All right. Okay.
So wedding was 1810, and then they've been doing it ever since. The 16 days leading up to the day the wedding was at, which was the first Sunday on October.
Right. And did they do the chicken dance at the wedding?
They certainly had the oom-paw-paw bands, I imagine, but I don't know what the chicken dance.
Well, that's a uniquely German thing.
And sure, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with oom-paw-paw bands, especially if you're a lover of the tuba, like I am. Now, there's that, and then there's the contest that the beer maidens do with how many giant, what do they call those glasses?
Moss. Yeah, I believe my German's really bad.
Is it 26 ounces? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like it's actually probably a little bit more than that. It's a full liter, so a liter is like 30 ounces.
Yeah.
My goodness. And they compete to carry as many of those as they possibly can.
Right.
Yeah, and then they'll also do ones where you hold them out. You fill two of them up and hold them out, your arms out to the side, and see who can hold their arm out straight the longest with a full moss.
But it seems like a waste of beer, doesn't it?
Well, I think they chug it then after that.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. As soon as they start to drop it. Oh.
Once even comes out of the
There's
rim.
There's so many contests surrounding Oktoberfest. There's the thing where they stack the plastic beer cups to the ceiling. After, I don't know if that's something we just do here at the local Oktoberfest places. There's two of them within about a 25 yard mile radius from our studio here in the LA Harbor. Torrance is one, Huntington Beach is the other.
They do it at Huntington Beach. Oh,
yeah, and then there's one kind of like that near where the Anaheim Ducks play hockey. And I forget what it's called, the Anaheim Brohouse or Brewery.
Oh, yeah, Hofbrau.
Hofbrau, something like that.
I thought you were talking about Fritz, too.
Yeah, no, that's a different thing altogether.
Don't forget about that multi-event we have that actually concludes with four guys standing on each end of a table and then chugging beer down the line till they get to Das Boot. You might remember that
Das
one.
No, I don't remember that. No,
I remember. I knew a guy in Tampa, and he could stand on his head on a table in the bar and drink pour beer down his throat, standing on his head.
See?
What?
You want to be the life of the party, you have to have some kind of beer talent.
But it's, but it's beer that's the connecting item there.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. Checking off the list, how did it all get started? We got that. It was a wedding in 1810. The chicken dance, we don't know where that originated. Probably in Torrance or Huntington Beach.
Very bad dancing on the part of white people, I think.
What is the quintessential Oktoberfest beer, then?
It's interesting because it's changed a lot. It's gotten every year. It seems to get a little bit lighter and a little bit less bigly flavored.
Is that our influence as beer consumers, or is that a German thing?
I think that's more of a German thing, because the Oktoberfest that you find on the shelf, especially the craft brewed stuff, is more like the traditional, it's called a Marzen style, and that's a beer that was traditionally brewed at the end of the brewing season, because you couldn't brew during the summer back in the olden days in Germany. So they brewed a bunch of beer in March.
Why is that? Why couldn't they brew in the summer?
The temperatures are too warm for fermentation to really work all that well, so you got a lot of weird off flavors, and the beer just wasn't that good. So like, instead of brewing German beer that's not that good, let's only brew through March and then cut it off.
All right, so that's why high school students should not become craft brewers, because they only have time during the summer to do it.
Thankfully, we have refrigeration now, so we can kind of get around those limitations.
Right.
But then, when Oktoberfest rolled around, they could start brewing again, and if they had any beer left, which they always did because they're Germans, they brew a lot of beer.
Sure.
They drank it all during Oktoberfest, so that's why the March beer was consumed in mass quantities during Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
All right, so it's a darker, it's an ale, right?
It's actually a lager.
Oh, it is a lager.
Yeah. So a lot of the German beers, the traditional German beers, are lagers, and that's kind of like their signature now in the world. But it's not a light lager. It's like caramel colored and.
Oh wait, he's cracking open a bottle.
There we go. Okay, that a boy, John.
Up against the mic now.
Oh, that was a quiet pop.
Yeah, I'll do the next one. Will be much more.
Here we go.
So you can
here we
see
go.
It's kind of like a coppery. color, and that's the toasted malts. Oh, the toasted malts they use for this beer, and it gives it this nice richness. Mm. And
thank you.
Nice specimen.
Now this is who makes this Oktoberfest beer.
This is the Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest out of Chico, California, and it should be available.
Smell it first.
Yeah, yeah. Take a smell.
All right. That smells like
Beer to me.
Smells delicious. Yeah. Yeah.
What's the difference? I'm going to ask a girl question, perhaps. What's the difference between an ale and a lager? That was a good one.
Nice.
I was expecting this question. Ales are an older technology. So they've been around for thousands of years. Lagers were kind of the new wave of beer that came across in the 19th century. And there's a many different types of ale yeasts. Like, they're both yeasts, but there's like a bunch of different like dog breeds of yeast that are ale yeast. They all do different things. They all taste slightly different. There's only a very, very small number of different lager yeasts. And so they work a little slower, but they also make a beer that's not quite as complex or fruity, which is what you get from ale yeast. So it's like a cleaner beer.
Yeah.
That's why all of the mass market American beers are lagers, because they don't want a lot of flavor in those beers. They want them to be as drinkable and as kind of easy drinking as possible.
So yeah, because flavor would require discriminating taste.
right.
Yeah.
Right, and if you're going to drink 12 of them, what the hell? You don't need to taste these.
Yes,
right.
And how in the world do you market to people with taste?
Correct. Can't do that in this country.
It is tricky.
But that's the essence of craft beer. People who have discriminating taste seek out a particular flavor, and they find the craft beer or two or three that they enjoy.
Yeah, or 20 or 30.
Or 20 or 30. Yeah, so we have a whole new generation of people who are into craft beer seriously, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's, well, especially where we live, you know, Southern California, down in San Diego, and it's creeping up the coast, there are a lot of craft brews being developed all over the place.
You know, there was a little microbrewery right down here in Belmont Shore in Long Beach.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's been there for years. Is it still there?
It is still there. It's but the Belmont Brewing Company is actually also, they have a sister brewery in downtown called the Bonaventure Brewing Company. And that guy's been brewing, close to 20 years probably by now.
Wow.
There's also one on 6th Street in San Pedro, San Pedro Brewing Company, which is a little brew pub, but they make some really good stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, so
all right.
You're real close there.
That's within walking distance.
That one.
Up the hill, but.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't it the Ale and the Whale or something like that? Was that a restaurant next to the?
Yeah.
Maybe it's the same place. I don't know. Maybe it changed hands.
Yeah, there's some history there that I'm a little foggy on.
Now, this one's pretty good, John. This
now, John, do you belong to this this beer drinking social media thing, Untappd?
I've kind of fallen off the Untappd wagon, so to speak.
You were there.
I was
a while.
There. Yeah, I'm certainly familiar with it and use it, but not to as regularly as I used to.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, trash it. Let's hear why.
No, it's great. I just, you know, when I'm drinking beer, I don't like to be in my phone and look, you know.
Amen.
Right.
Reading
it.
Yeah.
Talking to people. And
I do find that, when I started, here's what I have to do. I have to take a picture of the bottle.
Yeah.
Or a bottle and the glass with it, some of it in there, and then say a thing or two about the beer. And I'm awful at describing the beer other than, tasty.
Right.
You know, that's tasty. And so that's as a Cicerone, you can use all the fancy words and describe the aroma and the taste, and you can tell, you know, what percentage of this is in there and that sort of thing. And I can't do that. I just know it tastes good.
Well, you know, that's actually a good point. Like, if you're at that point of drinking beer where you know what you like, but you're not quite sure what it is that's going on, it's actually really good to have that exercise of going in and making those Untappd reviews. And it's kind of, I like it because it's not too sweet, or I like it because it's kind of toasty.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and then the more you use that vocabulary, the more you train your brain to kind of think about what you like and what you taste.
Right,
You'll find some new stuff, and it's a good way.
Yeah,
to...
yeah. Now, Oktoberfest is not a time for these IPAs, right? Because I'm still not on the IPA train.
You'll get there,
boy. It's
that's what people keep saying.
I'll tell you what, my family up in Northern California, they broke me in.
Yeah?
Really?
Yes. They took me to a beer tasting as well as a guy down the street, too.
Yeah.
A big party. Oh,
I've
man.
Been making an honest great. Effort for about 3 years,
it's
and
tough.
I'm just not getting it.
I don't get it.
It's tough.
I don't get it. I'm a stout porter girl.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Man.
So, boy, he just perked up. Look at John.
Well, so you like the bitterness isn't too off-putting to you if you like the stouts and porters, like coffee and chocolate and stuff like that.
I don't think of the stouts and porters as being bitter to me. But whatever they put in the hops for the IPAs, I cannot
do it.
Because of what? Because of a bitter
it's like
sort
the
of
herbal
flavor, right?
Kind of
it's hopsy,
whatever is
right,
like,
John?
Yeah, it just sort of makes my
it's
face.
It's powerful, is what it is.
And what does IPA stand for again?
It stands for India Pale Ale, and that's It's a really complicated. You may have heard that, like, they put the beer on a boat in England and sent it to India, and it kept going bad. So they made it stronger and put more hops in it, and then there was a shipwreck, and then the people found the kegs of the beer, and they fell in love with it. All of that is questionable history, but basically, it was a beer that was exported to India, and it was extra hops because that's what people liked back then too.
Yeah.
So,
and it has a romantic, mythical story behind it.
It does, which everybody loves.
All right. Now, you have one more bottle. Don't crack it open yet.
No, no.
But give us an idea what that is, because I think before we get to it, I just give us a
this is
bit
a,
of an idea.
So the first one we're drinking right now is the Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest. And the reason I brought this is, one, because Sierra Nevada is probably the pioneer of craft brewing in America.
Pioneer. Got it.
Yeah,
I don't know what the hell that's
not Sam Adams.
They all started right around the same time, but traditionally you think of Northern California as the birthplace of craft brewing.
Right.
And it was a place called New Albion was one of the first in 1976. Sierra Nevada, they're defunct now. Sierra Nevada followed very closely after in 79, 80 is when they opened up. And they're still around. They're one of the biggest, one of the best craft breweries. They're fantastic. Their Oktoberfest this year, they actually partnered with a 600-year-old German brewery called Brauhaus Riegele. I'm sure I'm butchering that, but
Riegele.
It's a family-owned brewery. The brewmaster's there is the 26th generation of brewers
in
the same family.
I'm not kidding.
So this is a more German-style October. It sounds weird to say more German-style Oktoberfest than what we normally think of, but it's a little bit lighter than the other craft versions, and it's but it's still got that kind of great American Sierra Nevada hop character at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
All right.
I did taste that at the end.
Yeah.
And somehow I'm stomaching it. I actually kind of like this, surprisingly, to me.
Yes, and I think this has a good...
I think it's because you're hungover, and it's the hair of the dog at this point for you.
Absolutely, Chris.
But I think this has chug-ability.
Hmm. I'll have a little more.
That's what I think. Some beers over you have to sip them a little bit and nurse them for a while. This one, I think you can down it in a hurry.
Yeah, each sip makes you want another sip of this beer.
All right.
And that's a dry finish.
So I want to take a little break, but just give me a look at what this is real quick.
This is a Weinstephaner Fest beer, which it's been a while since I've had one of these, but I believe it's going to be even lighter than this one and a little bit drier and a little bit more of the continental style of Oktoberfest.
You mean more alcohol?
You know, I think they're both right around 6%. So,
all right. So together we're getting 12%.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. More with the Cicerone, John Verivi, next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right. You smell the beer breath? That's because we've been drinking beer here in the studio on Phil Hewlett and Friends with John Verivi. He's a beer expert. Cicerone is to beer as sommelier is to wine, and he's a freelance beer writer, and his website is beeroftomorrow.com. And today he's cracking open a beer. What do you call this one again?
This is the Weinstephaner Fest beer.
Ooh.
Weinstephaner. All right. I like it.
Yeah.
Hey, Phil, John said that he had to train to be a Cicerone. Now, I can only imagine the grueling training process that you have to go through to be a certified beer tester.
Yeah, the homework.
Yeah,
the
studying.
Think of the exam. Holy mess.
The frightening thing is I'm currently studying for the Master Cicerone exam in March.
Oh, nice.
Which is an exam that there's 10 Master Cicerones in the world right now.
And you would be number 11?
I would. Yeah, hopefully.
Cool.
Is there anything
and we know you.
Yeah.
And so it's a two-day test. It's a lot of hands-on stuff, like pop quizzes or one-on-one quizzes and written essays and tasting beer. And
wow. There's something weird about there only being 10. It almost seems like one's got to drop dead to open up a space for you.
Sounds like a cult.
Supreme Court.
Yeah. All right. So cheers. Or what do you say in Germany?
Prost?
Proust?
Yes. That's not Proust. Right.
Take
that. Okay. I should know that.
Oh, yeah.
I think it is.
Sausage.
Proust. Proust. Yeah.
So you can see this beer is much lighter in color.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's a little bit. A lot of bubbles.
Yeah.
Fist beer.
It is. Maybe it's a little warm, but.
Oh, I'm liking this. Yeah, this is good.
Is it lighter?
Yeah, it's a little.
Oh, this has definitely a more Euro beer flavor to me.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the best way I can explain it.
Like what were you saying, John? Should it be colder?
I would serve this a little bit cooler than it is right now, but I mean, it's not terrible.
Would you avoid serving it in plastic cups as well?
Ideally, but you know, I'm not picky.
A little for our producer.
Oh, yeah.
Our executive producer, Mike Stark, came in and wants to taste this as well.
So this has a more traditional European hop character to it, which is kind of like herbal and zesty.
Is that
I like
what I'm tasting at the very end?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you say rounder flavor?
Sure.
I think the other one was rounder.
Sure. I would agree that the other.
The other one seemed more full-bodied.
Yeah. Full-bodied, yes. There's, I don't have a clue, really.
Yeah. Much more malt character in that first beer.
Yeah.
This
was
toastier. This one is much... the color is, which you could see it, it's radio, though, so you can't. Yeah. This is like straw-colored, maybe honey color.
Yeah.
The other one was more of like a coppery gold. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you're exactly right, honey. Okay, so the... Brooke had a question for you about your beer tasting preferences.
I would like to know, as a beer master, what's your favorite beer? Where do you go to?
You know, I like everything, obviously. I'm not picky, but I like to drink beer, and I like to not drink one and be done for the night. Like, I'd like to have a few beers for the evening when I'm out with it. So I like lower alcohol stuff, and I love traditional German-style pilsners, especially the new American takes on these beers. Mm-hmm. There's one out of Paso Robles. Firestone Walker is an amazing brewery, and they make a beer called Pivo Pilsner. And it's light and dry and crisp and floral and beautiful and crushable, I think they say.
Crushable.
Yeah, you can drink like three or four of them. And you get each one. You don't get, some beer, like IPAs especially, you'll drink one and you'll be like, oh, that was good, but I'm kind of tired. My tongue's tired of drinking all that flavor.
Uh-huh.
Pivo, you can have three or four and be like, oh, no. He's still good.
P-I-V-O?
P-I-V-O,
so I got to drive to Paso to get it?
Oh, no, it's all over the place. They have cans, bottles.
Cool.
Yeah, everywhere.
All right.
Fun.
Good to know. All right. And beeroftomorrow.com, we could read your writing there and also freelance stories. Any stories for us to make note of at the moment?
LA Times Daily Dish food blog is, I'm there three times a week, and I just did a story on... Stone's new carrot cake beer, which is really great.
Ooh.
Carrot cake beer.
Sounds like dessert.
Hey, now.
Now we only have like 5 seconds. Pumpkin-flavored beers?
The carrot cake beer is better than pumpkin-flavored.
All right,
stuff.
Good to know.
Hey, thanks, John.
John, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Beeroftomorrow.com. And that's it for this hour of the show. So much more to come, including the decade of life in which you were happiest. Those Burger King black bun burgers, well, they're turning people's poop a different color. And our travel guide takes us through cities and towns with the weirdest names. Those stories and more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Coming up next.
Proust. Proust. Proust.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, we try to proceed after downing a bunch of beer.
Yeah.
For science. Right?
Absolutely.
We learned a thing or two. Plus, that freakishly smart and borderline antisocial genius dude on Jeopardy. What's his deal? I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for listening. Brooke Peterson, Ted Pritchard, and Chris Martin are all here today. There's so much more to this hour, as you can imagine if you listen to this program frequently. You know that we wouldn't stop with just two stories. And so, Brooke, let's start with you. And I remember back in, junior high, all the kids had mood rings, and it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what's
your mood? I don't know. Let go of my hand and let's see. And the little ring would change colors from blue to green to orange to red. And
did they really work?
Well, I don't know. Were you in a bad mood if it was red?
I think
it just kind of read the temperature on your skin and just started changing colors.
Yeah,
right. Don't give away the secret.
Don't you think?
And if it was blue, you were feeling hot for somebody.
I broke
right?
up with a girlfriend because of that damn ring.
You did? Because yours was always red. Yeah.
All right. Mine was always heated.
They still have those?
I think so, yeah.
Sure.
They do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where to find one.
Oh, okay.
eBay.
Yeah.
Amazon.
Correct.
All right. But are they just for people?
Oh.
Hello.
It's two beers.
Is this thing on?
What a cheap date.
Hello? Is this thing on? That was the
I'm here.
That was a 2-minute lead in.
I thought you were gonna keep on going.
It's usually me, isn't it? It's usually me that stumbles around.
Don't let me step on your feet when we're dancing. I'm just trying to lead here.
Actually, Phil, it's not just for people. I'm glad you asked.
No kidding, Brooke. What's happening?
Well, now there is a company who is developing a little gadget that you put on your dog's tail. And when you it basically will monitor your dog's tail wagging, thereby letting you know the feelings your dog is experiencing. You get to be more emotionally connected to your dog.
Yeah.
I'm pretty
Isn't
emotionally connected. To
I don't
my dog
buy it.
Right
so,
now.
So give me an idea then, because it seems like the dog has like two or three emotional constants. There's, I'm about to eat something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's somebody I didn't see 30 seconds ago,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sleepy.
Well, I always thought if a dog's tail was wagging, they were just happy.
Yeah,
I thought that was it. And they're saying that apparently there is a lot more nuance to a dog's tail wagging. In fact, it even says something here. It says, left wagging indicates negative feelings like anger or aggression, while right wagging typically indicates positive feelings like happiness and excitement. I have never noticed left or right wagging.
Well, now, are they trying to say then that rather than a metronome going back and forth from left to right, the tail will go to the right and kind of swirl in a circle, making it look like it's moving left to right, but actually it's swirling on the right or versus...
Ooh, a swirl. Right. That must be really complicated.
It's like that dog in the Three Stooges. You ever seen that one?
Oh, what? No.
No, there's Petey on the Little Rascals.
Yes.
And then there's another dog on the Three Stooges. And that dog, that poor dog's tail does, you know, it makes a question mark.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that guy?
Right. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
This is a little contraption.
He doesn't know what he's feeling.
It's a little contraption that slides on the tail
mm-hmm.
and records the data. And then through a Bluetooth app.
Of course.
It goes on your phone. All this data gets transmitted to your phone. It's mm-hmm. almost like a Fitbit. They're calling it kind of like a little Fitbit.
Yeah. And what's the designation for get this thing off of my tail?
Right? Seriously. It looks kind of uncomfortable to me.
All right.
Oh,
now, there's every now and then, you know, you feel like you got a feather or a bug or something up your nose and it's making you sneeze like crazy, right?
Yeah. You just blow it and then you're done.
Yeah, usually that's what happens.
Usually.
But not for everybody.
Not for everybody. This poor girl, she's 12 years old, living in southern Texas. She is suddenly, without any kind of rhyme or reason, the doctors can't explain it, is sneezing 20 times a minute.
Oh.
That's 12,000 sneezes a day. She can't stop. It's been going on for almost a month now.
Bet she's got great abs by now.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, she had to quit school. She can't go to school. She can't play her clarinet anymore. And she's even saying that she can't even really eat. Like, she's weak because she can't eat.
And all these weird people are either in Florida or Texas now,
I want to hear that clarinet playing.
12,000 sneezes a day.
Oh, man.
I can't even
kid.
I know. And no No, but they can't figure it out. They have no idea why, where it came from, how to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she's, I guess she's still going.
Could you imagine the how wet the walls are in the house?
Good Lord. Oh, man.
Her dad just says this is horrible to see her. It's like torture.
I mean, after a while, you know, what's the point of covering your mouth? Okay,
yeah, forget really.
I'm the kid who sneezes 20 times a minute, okay? Give me a break.
I just stick her outside and strap her to a chair. Let her
really?
Let her just sneeze away in that Texas breeze.
Yeah,
you know? It'd be nice.
You're a good dad.
Maybe
sure.
They can. Maybe they can harness the power of those sneezes for good.
I don't know. I just feel for her, man.
But there's no cure. It's like those people that get the chronic hiccups and they go for months at a time.
Yeah. That'll kill you, won't it?
And they've already tested her for allergies. Like, it's not an allergy situation.
Well, it's got to be bad
she
for her
blow
lungs.
Up balloons for a
bad
living.
Bad for her sinuses. Bad for her throat.
Yeah.
Bad for her brain. You know, you could pop a corpuscle or something.
Absolutely.
Sure. It's a short circuit.
What do you think,
Dr.
Chris?
I think it's a psychological disorder of some sort.
Really?
You know, usually your body will release whatever resistance you have mentally in all sorts of different outlets, and this is just one of them.
Hmm.
I don't know. Or possibly an allergy or something like that.
You think
that,
it's maybe a form of Tourette's?
Yeah, I guess. I guess a form of Tourette's or something that she's hanging on to, that this is her body's way of saying, all right, here's how you're going to get it out. Here's how you're going to... you know, get it out of your system. But eventually she's got to stop. I guess that's what everybody's waiting for. If the doctors are just letting her go back home, you just say, okay, well, just keep sneezing until you give up. Until eventually your body stops.
Yeah. Well, you know, she Made wanted attention from dad, and now.
Now it is.
I just wonder if they still feel good, because, like, a sneeze feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right? It
yeah.
seems like such a relief. But then for her, I imagine it
doesn't
feel
good.
Yeah,
didn't they say a sneeze is akin to an orgasm?
Three sneezes, one orgasm.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Heard that all my life.
Yeah. One week orgasm. Orgasm.
Aren't you? That's one.
Where's that pepper?
All right, fine.
Chick's crazy.
Moving on. Now, I think more and more, if you're in an organized suburban town, you've got the three trash cans. You've got the black one for all your refuse. At least three. Your rotting food and all that sort of thing. And then you have the green one for the yard clippings.
Well, here's the thing.
And then you have the blue one.
It's crazy.
For the recycled stuff.
And it's gotten out of hand in the last 4 or 5 years, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
That's when I've noticed it.
Yes, and people get angry about it.
So the whole deal is there's a fellow named John Tierney who has a blog, he has written articles, and he's an economist of sorts. And his whole idea is that recycling has now gone too far. Instead of just recycling the things that actually can be recycled to, you know, productive use in eliminating, say, for instance, carbon emissions, which is what everybody's terrified about.
Yeah.
He's saying that we're separating, you know, we're spending so much more money and time economically on the labor involved in all this wacky recycling that it's not productive at all. He says it costs more in labor. He says far more than the Earth gets back in negating carbon emissions.
Mm-hmm.
So paper cans, plastic, they're worth it. They're worth recycling.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. And we could all probably think of, you know, you'll find stuff all the time. Even in Staples, you'll see recycled paper.
Sure.
And you can run it through your printer and, you know, that stuff. And you don't waste all that stuff.
Yeah, a truckload of plastic shopping bags might turn into a heart valve for somebody.
Correct. And the idea is that... there are some examples that he cites that kind of, you know, I'm not sure about the math on these because I've sicked our crack research department on this.
Yes.
And they'll get to the bottom of one of these, I can guarantee you. This guy, Tierney, says you'd have to recycle 40,000, ready for this? 40,000 plastic bottles in order to offset the emissions output caused by one passenger taking one round-trip ticket New York to London. Think about it.
All right. So a passenger plane has 120 seats or so. So 120 times 44,000.
It says one passenger.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
One passenger. He said not first class. First class would take more.
Really?
That's what he said.
Oh, now.
Well, they get better food.
That's why I'm wondering.
That's a bigger carbon footprint if you're in first class?
Well, you take up more space, and so therefore you're not as productive in terms of the reduction.
Yes, but you're more comfortable, and you're letting off fewer negative vibes on the planet.
All right, and he said the second myth that he wanted to, bash.
What's this guy's name again? Tierney?
His name is Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-R.
And these are all his opinions. He's just trying to get us to think about it.
He claims to be factual on this. Yes, he's trying to get us to think about it in economic terms, in terms of the effort that we put out and what we get back, what the Earth gets back from.
Yeah.
He says we are not running out of landfill space. Have you ever heard that?
I have, but typically it's in context of the space that they've allotted for the landfill. They say, mm-hmm. all right, the landfill's filling up.
Well,
and then you got to find a new place to create another landfill.
There you go. And, yeah. and so evidently his concern about the new spaces being filled up is he's debunking this with this. At current levels of U.S. garbage output, it would take 1,000 years to fill up 0.1% of U.S. grazing land.
Oh.
That's just grazing land, not mountains, not rivers, not unusable Texas.
So what? Oklahoma, here we come.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So in other words, we're dealing with a lot of mythical information when it comes to, you know, the whole saving the
earth. You think the folks in the plains appreciate it that whenever we come to running out of space that we always go to talk about them?
I don't think so at all. And in fact, my folks, before they passed, bless their hearts, in their little farm out in Virginia, they raised holy hell with their county government because they wanted to sell a landfill to this, a waste company. Was out of New Jersey.
Right.
Because you get a lot of money for it.
Sure.
Then all you have to do is bury all that hazardous waste out there in, you know, King and Queen County, Virginia, and then about 10 years later, just bury it over.
Jersey puts all his trash on a barge, and then they just float that barge out for a couple of years until nobody notices. Then they sink it.
Then they sink it. Yeah. That's absolutely correct.
Isn't that right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's kind of a common practice. New York. New Jersey.
Yeah,
it's those Yankees. That's what they do, isn't it?
Right. That's right. You can like them
that's
or you can
true,
dislike
though.
Them. You can swipe to the left or swipe to the right. In fact, we told you first on this program about a new app that was coming out to where you could rank your friends. there's a dramatic development in the launch of this app that Chris is going to tell you about next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, you're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we like you. So if this app ever does come out, I hope you'll swipe in the proper direction. Chris, what was this app called again?
It's called People, but spelled P-E-E-P-L-E. People.
Yeah.
Peeps.
Like
Yeah, you guys brought this app up on the show, and really this app went viral around the world basically last week because of all of the buzz it was creating, criticism it was receiving.
Mm-hmm.
It's an app that was designed to find and rate really anyone you know. And you rate them on a 5-star basis. Obviously, you can leave comments about your rating
as
well.
So, wow.
They were calling it Yelp for humans.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, sort of how they were describing it.
Oh, an ex-boyfriend or two could have been.
Yeah.
And just think you're an ex-girlfriend to those ex-boyfriends.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So however you feel about them, they may feel equally about you. Really, the potential is there for ruining everybody's dating life, everybody's possibility of getting into another job, everybody's possibility of any sort of advancement. And I think that's how we as consumers saw it. That's how we as critics saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, the website, Facebook page, Twitter handle, and any other social media outlets that this People app had have all been deleted.
Wow.
They've all been removed.
So they've gotten out of the business. They've packed up the tent and they're leaving town.
Yeah, and the developer and CEO of the company just didn't want to deal with the criticism anymore. I mean, it's really interesting because they had been working on this app for a year now. I mean, they put a lot of effort into it. They put a lot of money into it. Obviously, it was a charged idea. So there was a potential there for a lot of money. But I think that she just became overwhelmed with all the criticism and said, look, I'm just not going to deal with it anymore. She does stand behind the fact that her goal was to develop the world's largest positivity app.
Mm.
But in today's day and age, in the way that we tend to you know, talk about each other when we don't have a good experience.
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, culturally, we got all these people that are closet, you know, internet
trollers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what they're going to do. That's the only chance they get to voice anything is negativity on the internet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just seems like a lot of people just aren't happy with their lives. Yeah.
Correct.
I wouldn't put this to bed, though. I wouldn't say that it's never coming back. Something tells me that it already has developed too much notoriety for it to just disappear.
Momentum.
Something,
and a lot of people are using it.
And there's got to be some sort of offshoot of it. Maybe a way of regulating too much negativity.
What happens if it falls into the hands of evil?
Yeah, maybe it already was in the hands of evil and we thwarted it.
Yes.
It's hard saying. You know?
All right. Hey, do you reminisce about your 20s? Chris, it was only a couple of weeks ago for you, right?
Yeah, it wasn't very long ago. Yeah, yeah. Just over a year ago.
Yeah. And I wonder how you possibly had any worries back then, you know, in your 20s. Because life was so wonderful. And life was easy. Were you?
Oh, I was
and
a mess.
I was too.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. You'll find happiness again when you're really old. A new study out of Australia analyzed people's happiness over their lives, and here are the three things that they found. You are happiest from the ages of 15 to 24.
I don't know.
Then you start getting more miserable. Things keep getting worse until your 40s. When it bottoms out and stays low. So your 40s suck. Once you hit... Sorry, Chris. That's ahead
for
you.
No, that's all right. Yeah, I knew it was all doom and gloom from this point forward.
Once you hit your 60s, you start getting happier again. And by 75, you're as happy as you were when you were 20.
Wow.
Wow.
I do have something to look
75.
Forward to.
75. Yeah.
Too bad it's so far away.
So researchers had one main conclusion. Responsibilities are the worst. When you're working, raising kids, and you're under stress, you're the most unhappy. So in the ages before all of that stress and after all of it, life is great.
Okay.
See, there's a reason I haven't had children. Ha-ha!
I don't see how, like, 0 to 10 isn't on that list as the happiest time of your life, because what do 0 to 10-year-olds have to worry about? They just sit around smiling, waiting to be fed.
True.
Well, everything's taken care of for
them.
Want
to make mom and dad happy, but there's a lot of stress involved in that. But by the same token, you ever try to survey a 0 to 10-year-old?
What do you mean?
It's not the easiest group of survey takers you could find.
So they were just left off the list because of
lazy scientists?
Oh, because
they're unruly.
Difficult to get them to focus on the task at hand.
Right, tough to corral.
Yeah.
And they can't. It's tough for them to express feelings.
And any attorney will tell you when there's a kid involved in the process of fact-finding and they have to have these closed-door meetings with the kids will just say what they think you want them to hear.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they're not reliable people to survey. So I'm guessing that's why they didn't.
15 to 20.
I was pretty happy those years.
I don't know. 15, 16, 17.
Boy,
some high school
me.
Years are.
Well, you know what? When you take out the things that you were angst-ridden about when you were 15 to 20 or so, just erase those or put them on one side of the scale and then put everything else in your life on the other side of the scale. Like, you know, you didn't care what time you woke up necessarily.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Right?
Ted certainly didn't. Nope. Obviously.
And on any given day, you could have just said, screw this, I'm going to the beach.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, you can't do that when you're older and responsible and that sort of thing. Oh, I got to go to work. I got to pay the bills. You got to do all these different things. I can't just walk. Hey, I heard the surf's up. The waves are breaking. See you later. Show's over. I got to go surfing.
Right.
My buddies are outside. Hear that honk?
Right.
Come on. They got gas money.
Just make it to 75.
Good point. Life sucks. I'm going to go jump off the pier now. Thanks,
okay.
Phil.
See you, Chris.
That's all right. We still have the NFL.
We do.
Oh,
is that happening?
Do we?
The NFL's going on every week.
How far into the season are we?
We are one quarter of the way through the season. 4 games out of 16 that they play during the regular season, and then if you're lucky enough to make it to the postseason, there's a few more games for you. But, we're a quarter of the way through the season. Seems to be moving pretty quickly. And I was curious if you guys had any idea. Here we are, 4 games in, 32 teams. Only 6 of the 32 teams are left undefeated, meaning they're 4-0. Well, one team's
3-0.
If you want to, you can guess, or I can tell you.
I think I have one. Atlanta.
Atlanta is undefeated. They are 4-0.
New England.
New England is undefeated, yes. They're 3-0. That's 2 of 6. You want to try, Brooke?
Saints.
Oh, the Saints are terrible.
I think
they're 1-3.
They just won yesterday for the first time.
Yeah,
right?
They think they beat the Cowboys.
Rams.
No.
No.
No, the Rams are like 2-2.
They're okay.
Colts.
Okay.
The Colts are terrible.
Phoenix.
They're no good. No, Phoenix just lost this weekend. They were undefeated.
Broncos.
Boy, I've got you guys buffaloed. Yeah. There you go. Denver. There's three of the teams here. Let me give them to you.
Yeah.
This is in reverse power ranking order, the six teams that are left undefeated. The lowest ranking would be the Carolina Panthers with Cam Newton, who does the Superman deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
Ted, you got that one. The Cincinnati Bengals are the fourth most powerful team in this undefeated group. The Denver Broncos are number three. The Green Bay Packers, of course, they're number two.
Yeah.
And then the Super Bowl, defending Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, I buy all of that.
I would have sucked if I joined one of those week-on, week-off fantasy things.
It would have killed you.
The deck stacked against you, pal.
Is it?
Yes.
Are those guys still in business?
Well, they are, but barely.
Yeah.
And it's hanging on. I remember we questioned this last week about, you know, there's something shady maybe about these online fantasy football deals.
Later, a little later on in the program, we're going to talk about them. Apparently, they're in big trouble, and if you're playing one of those things and your money's over there, you need to know about it. And if you travel enough, you see some pretty goofy names, for, not just for streets. You know, there's an off-ramp in California called Zizzix. It's got Z's and X's and Y's, and that's all it's got. But I don't know if that's a town. But there are some weird names for towns. You think about the people that came out to this continent, and they were the first European settlers, and they came up with these strange names. Some of them make you think, how in the world did they get away with that, or what were they on at the time? Our travel guy has a living, breathing database of ridiculously named towns and cities, and he shares some of them with us. He's visited them all next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, thanks for tuning to Phil Hewlett and Friends, added.com, and you're at our website. We've had a bit of beer to drink, and so that means we're ready to bring in our travel guy. It's Gary Warner.
Hey!
You missed it. We had an Oktoberfest segment in our first hour.
I wish I'd known. I would have at least gotten a beer out here.
Well, we have a bottle of Festbier from Hinstefener. It's right there on the table in front of us. So, Gary, today we're talking about there are so many cities out there with just bizarre, strange names, some kind of fur trapper. Came through town and had a couple of beers and ate some weasel for breakfast and then he woke up and he said, I'm going to stake my claim and I dubbed this town the weasel nostrils and
weasel
so,
nostrils or
yeah.
pig ear
yes exactly
and, like that, yeah.
And just strange names for cities, and you've been to a bunch of them, and where are we going?
Well, I just started thinking about this again because I was just driving up I-5 from Northern California to Oregon, and you go through Whiskey Town, which isn't that you know fancy of a silly of a name, but when you find out it's named Whiskey Town because there was a mule that was filled with sacks of whiskey that fell off a cliff on the trail into the river, and that's why everyone decided to name it Whiskey Town. That's that's a great little story.
Well, poor mule. What happened to the mule?
It died. Yeah. It died, and then a lot of the whiskey went with it down the river.
But
I used to live in Amish country in Pennsylvania, and they used to say you had to go from Blue Ball to Intercourse to get to paradise. And that
awesome.
if you couldn't go to Intercourse, you could always go to Bird in Hand.
Oh.
What's that worth?
These are all legitimate places. So I started looking around a little bit to find some of the more sillier named places out there, and I found a few. Some of them have a story behind them. Some of them the story is lost in time, you know. But a lot of it is exactly what you said, Phil. It's some guy comes through and something happens, or he has the name, and then you add town to it or something like that, and it becomes, you know, a good example of that is Horny Town, North Carolina.
Oh,
North Carolina. Oh.
Wow.
There was a guy named Horny, and he was a blacksmith who made firearms for the Confederates during the Civil War. So to salute him afterwards, they named it Horny Town.
Yes, of course.
And, you know, they have a Horny Town fire department and the whole thing, you know.
Because you know, that name didn't change its meaning until, Sissy Spacek in that country singer movie that she was in back in the...
Well,
Loretta Lynn's daughter?
Right. Yeah, when she played Loretta Lynn. It's all either her fault or Loretta Lynn's fault for changing the name Horny into something completely different.
Something completely different.
Yeah.
But, you know, a more typical one that is exactly what you were kind of talking about and that I've run across before is Dick Shooter, Idaho.
What?
Now
that doesn't sound delightful at all.
Now you go to Dick Shooter, and it's spelled as you would think.
Yeah.
And it says, you know, basically some of the locals will tell you that it's because there was a gunslinger way back when whose trigger was faster than his draw, and so he shot himself in the pants.
Yeah,
no.
Oh, ouch.
But then you find out when you talk to, like, the local librarian or something like that, that originally the land was owned by a man named Richard or Dick Shutter.
Yeah.
And so it just over time has become Dick Shooter, you know. But it's there.
Leave it to the librarian to search for a more honorable meaning.
Right? A more honorable meaning, more truthful meaning. But there's a few others I wanted to just, you know, some of them I know the meaning of, others I don't. You know, there's places like Cranky Corner and Dismal and things like that. But some of my favorite are like Beaver Lick, Kentucky.
Beaver Lick?
Beaver Lick, because the beavers would go there to get their food, their sustenance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being here in Oregon, we have right up the road here, we have Oregon State, the Oregon State Beavers.
Yeah.
You have a lot of people walking around with beaver T-shirts.
Yeah.
There's Big Ugly, West Virginia.
Big Ugly.
Big Ugly. Big Ugly. And here in Oregon, we have Idiotville, Oregon. which was named after there was a bunch of forestry camps when they were logging, and there was one that was so far up in the hills that they used to say only an idiot would live up there.
Yeah,
and it's the only one that ended up staying there. All the other camps moved, so you know, Idiotville.
So people live in Idiotville now.
Just a few. You know, a lot of these things, you know, unfortunately, go away. And that a good example is my last two I want to talk about.
Yeah,
one of my favorites, Sugar Tit, Kentucky. Now, Sugar Tit, Kentucky.
It's a kind of bird, isn't it?
No.
It's a nickname for my ex-girlfriend.
Oh.
There was a general store there.
Yeah.
And it was a poor area with big families.
Uh-huh.
And the general store was famous for pacifiers. Now, in those days, pacifiers weren't like, you know, what we get today. They sold these pieces of cloth that were wrapped around a lump of sugar.
Yeah.
And you could give it to the baby, and mom could work in the field.
Uh-huh.
And they were called Sugar Tits.
Oh.
So, you know, it's a nice little thing there. But there's Climax, Minnesota. Nobody knows why Climax, Minnesota is called Climax, Minnesota.
Well, it gets pretty cold there, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, they came up with at the 100th anniversary of Climax, which basically used to be some, you know, some sort of like baking soda or something like that. It was on the side of a barn.
Yeah.
The barn, the town grew up around the barn, and so it became the town of Climax.
Yeah.
Well, they tried to have a slogan and everything like that. And, you know, one of the winning ones was, you know, how to reach Climax and all these other things. And the school banned the kids from wearing anything with the town name on it.
Oh, come on.
And one girl wore her T-shirt there and was suspended for 4 days.
No.
Now, the final one I wanted to bring up is...
Oh, wait, I just want to say it's mind-boggling to think that Climax has only been around for 100 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And and it's something like that. There's things that meant different things 100 years ago, or, you know, a typical one is, you know, the British called, you know, cigarettes fags and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, words change, you know, gay, the gay 90s. It wasn't because there was a lot of, you know, male on male and women on women marriages or something like that.
Yeah.
It was just the name changes.
Okay, I got you.
Some of that. But the last one is that a lot of people like to point out is Truth or Consequences, New Mexico.
Oh, I've heard of that one, yeah.
And they think it's some kind of like old West town and everything like that, you know, and they just came up with this, you know, neat name and everything like that. No. 1950s, Truth or Consequences TV show holds a contest. If a town will name itself Truth or Consequences, they get some big, you know, prize.
Wow.
And so this town in New Mexico named itself after the game show. And so it's not some great old, you know, 19th century shoot 'em out bill. It's 1950s commercial.
And they got a Maytag washer and dryer with $750.
That explains Wheel of Fortune, Wyoming.
Yeah.
I was wondering if a place gets if a show gets canceled, can they change the name? You know, or is it?
Yeah, they should.
But anyway, those are just a few, and you'll run across them. You know, a very popular one up in the north, up in the German country, is hell. Because hell in German means light.
Yes.
And so, you know, there's Hell's Gate, and, you know, there's Hell Beer. You know, there you go. You get Hell Beer.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You didn't mention Weed, California, Gary.
Yeah, I just went through Weed, California.
Attaboy.
And I don't know why it's named Weed, California, but
please.
Is. There is a lot of weed up there in that whole area.
Is there a place called Podunk for real?
Yes, there is. There's a place called Podunk. I forget what state it's in. Let me see here. I was going to mention that some of this stuff came from a book I've had for a long time. I don't even know if it's still in print. It's called Reaching Climax and Other Towns Along the American Highway by Gary Gladstone. But he's got all of them in here. There's Podunk, Pretty Boy, Man Love, Pee Wee, Spasticville, Superior Bottom, Hooker, Hoo Hoo, Honey Hole, Hard, Funk, Finger, Fanny, Erect.
Yeah.
You know, Double Town, Double Trouble, and Bogus Corners. So there you go. Yeah. You know, you got to be proud to live in those towns.
I guess you do, and you have to be comfortable in your own skin when you put the return address on your envelope.
Well, you have to be comfortable in your own skin when you're living in the intercourse.
It's Gary, Iowa, Podunk, Iowa.
Gary Warner, thank you, sir.
Sure right, thing, guys. Gary.
We'll talk to you next week. Okay, there we go. All right. You've been to Obama. That's a funny thing, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing you gotta funnier live there. Than the truth.
Let's all move to Idiotville.
Let's move to Dick Shooter. What are you talking about?
Sugar tits.
Oh, my God.
All right. Boy, I could go for some fresh Prince music right around now. That's almost as absurd as some of the names of those cities.
That's right.
It? But Will Smith may be back at it, and you're going to hear from him coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, it's Phil Hewlett and friends. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Great to hear. And, you know, I will say that back from the early hip-hop days, a Fresh Prince of, and Jazzy Jeff, is that his name?
DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Yeah, that was, when you listen back to it with, you know, hindsight is 2020. He was really doing some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun
really
to listen to. He was great lyrics.
And
just fun to listen to. And maybe that's because I'm an old white guy, and what do I know? But
that's what got us interested.
Yes, exactly.
That kind of hip-hop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, he's become a big fancy actor, and maybe he misses those days when he was doing the music. And is he back into it?
He's coming back. Not only did he release a single this past Friday, but apparently he's planning on releasing a full-on album coming next summer. And going on his first ever world tour.
Whoa.
First ever. He never toured before because he was always on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
He was a TV star.
Yeah. Man.
So what about that poor DJ Jazzy Jeff? He's been living in a cardboard box near the pier. No, really? He's
yes.
going to be in it?
They're getting back together.
Wow.
Getting the band back together.
I bet he's happier about this than Will
too.
Smith is.
Who knows what DJ Jazzy Jeff has been up to? I have no idea.
Me neither.
But yeah, no, their music was super fun, really catchy, a good time. And then he had to be all like movie starred out, and he left us. But he's coming back.
Well, we have a little of this song. This is a remix, so I don't know if this is the actual release, but it's just the same. To give you a flavor for it, this is called Fiesta.
Oh, good. This track is a heat. I couldn't let the beat go by without a feature. Because it's hot shit. Only you know me. OG, hot class, and low-key. Trying to find me a Sophie Vergara in a dance floor to terror. Touch me, I like beauty. Ain't you Colombiana, laced in design.
Well, listen to that, huh?
Interesting.
That's Will Smith and Bomba Estéreo.
I wonder why the Spanish influence. Like, I wonder where that's coming
from.
Big-time
salsa is kind of real popular.
Well, maybe that he's thinking, okay, this is a big audience. That
huge market, that's for sure.
I expected J-Lo to pop in any second there. But
right.
No. Okay.
She might in the video. You never know. He's got connects.
And bring back Mark Antony.
Oh, no. Why?
I don't know.
Can you name one Mark Antony song?
No.
Can you name
one
J-Lo song?
Jenny from the Block.
Oh, hey, how about that? That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Look at them. You say Stark. Yes, correct.
Yes, correct.
I'm excited he's doing music again, though. I thought he was very.
Me too.
Good.
That didn't
I
have
too.
That didn't have that old, old school hip hop feel to it for me.
But he was still rapping, sorta ish, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was
sure. Yeah.
I wanted to get get
four white people.
Almost
sitting
sounds
on a table.
Like a cadence of a marching band, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's the remix element.
That could be.
Yeah, hard to say.
Good point.
All right, so earlier in the program, we teased a little bit about these NFL fantasy websites.
Oh, right.
That where you can get involved, and there's a couple of them that are huge, and they're just so successful because people don't have to commit for an entire NFL season. They can get in for 1 week, play a little money, maybe win a lot of money, and then get out.
So I liken it to ground floor mutuals at a racetrack. You ever been to there? That's where the guy bets $2 to show.
Yeah.
And that racetrack's taking your money right
sure.
there, right?
Yeah. Because
what are they going to do, pay you back a dime?
Right.
You know, that's how I liken it, because they're offering, you get in for like, I think the minimum's like $25. So they're getting $25 for millions of people. You notice the advertising. You can't watch football or sports radio or TV.
Yeah, there's like two guys winning out of millions.
There
right?
you go. And they show you those guys and you go, hell yeah, I can do that. I can make that money. Here's my $25. All right. We're talking about DraftKings. And FanDuel. Well, just like we suspected about a couple of weeks ago, interesting hum there. It has to do, DraftKings is probably, monitoring the program.
Excuse me.
And quite all right. Oh, it's the beer. That's what happened. Well, at any rate, they're being both of these sites, DraftKings, FanDuel, are both being accused of insider trading. I don't know how that term applies.
Not in the stock market.
No, it's because
it's
not
what
in the
Martha
stock
Stewart got in trouble
there
for.
There you go. And what it means, I guess, in this instance is that somebody's handing out, the correct answers or the information or something, or guiding someone else to a win.
Yeah.
That everybody else wasn't guided toward. So some mid-level content guy, unnamed, revealed that he had leaked statistics, and I guess that's how that works because I have no clue how to do fantasy anything.
Mm-hmm.
Except alone in my room.
Yeah.
And these guys, he leaked the information to another guy.
Yeah.
And the guy won $350,000.
Now,
and he's another employee. That seems to be the problem.
All right. But I think the judge cuts him a break. And here's why. If you implicate them on this insider trading thing, then you have to implicate all the players on the field and the coaches.
What?
Because
it's the RICO statute.
You can't tell to a certainty how a game is going to end.
Right.
Can you?
No.
I guess you can't. So, I hadn't thought about it. See, I don't know how it works.
So I think the law is going to be on their side because they could say, hey, look, we can't.
There's reasonable doubt and all that sort of thing.
You're saying that we're influencing the game itself, the football game on the gridiron? We can't do that.
Yeah, no, they obviously can't. But is there some way that the statistics are compiled immediately after the game?
I think that what they're talking about is what these sites do is they release statistics about what the players are capable of every week.
Yeah.
But there could also be compiled statistics that say over the years when this team or this player has faced this team or this player, this has been the result 60+70% of the time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Increasing your odds of taking this bet that direction
and also
in this matchup, rather than just saying Michael Crabtree scores two touchdowns.
I wonder, Chris and Ted, also if there are ways to win at this, because I don't know. I've never logged into one of these sites. That if you just outperform the other bettors, maybe those statistics, if you were privy to that, okay, this percentage of people are going this way and this percentage of people are going that way.
There
so
you
if
go.
You go this way,
could
you
be
have
that,
the
that
upper
makes
hand.
More sense.
You're absolutely right, Phil. I'll bet that's what it is. Is they go, okay, we're down to the last second for you to place a bet.
Yeah.
This many people have placed their bet this direction.
Okay,
if you go this direction,
you
have a higher likelihood of beating more people.
Makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yep, yeah, okay. Makes sense.
All right.
So name three NFL players. Go ahead.
Phil.
Yeah, I can barely do that.
The refrigerator, Perry.
There he is.
Yeah, that boy.
Jim McMahon.
Yeah,
too, right.
He's Still playing?
No.
Okay. No,
he's
Tom
in a
Brady.
Bar somewhere.
Tom Brady. It's an easy one, right?
Say it one more time, and then you've got three.
Tom Brady.
All right.
Anybody else?
I'm clueless because people are watching this game, and they're not looking at the teams. They're looking at the statistics from each player.
Yeah.
Like, you know, here comes, you know, Filthy Phil.
And I've said it 100 times on this program. I left the NFL when the Rams left town.
Yeah, okay.
Well, what are you going to do when they come back?
I might get back into it. In fact, I might apply to be their public address
announcer. And you should, and you should have it.
Right.
Agreed.
And if the Raiders come back to town, I will not apply.
I could play for them.
For the Raiders? Yeah, this season?
I'm kidding.
Maybe so.
I'm kidding.
Didn't they? Yeah. Didn't they lose to Chicago? The Bears are terrible.
Clue.
Didn't the Bears beat
they
the Raiders?
They did. Yeah, they lost to Chicago.
Yeah,
the 0-3 Chicago Bears that are now 1-3.
Yeah, thanks to the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Holy mackerel. All right. Well, thanks, Ted.
You're welcome.
And let's see. Where are we going now? Oh, gosh. I guess we're not watching Dancing with the Stars anymore.
No.
No, nobody's watching Dancing with the Stars anymore. Although they do still have the Irwin kid. From Steve Irwin's daughter.
Bindi. Yeah. She's Bindi adorable.
Irwin. They still have one of the Backstreet Boys, so yeah. I'm sure that there's an audience there. But one person that they don't have anymore is Gary Busey.
Oh, it's killing me.
Gary Busey
He's
has
gone.
Been voted off Dancing with the Stars. And, yeah, he outlasted Paula Deen.
All right. Well, that's saying something.
Yeah.
But nobody's going to – it's done. The show's done.
Yeah, for, in my head.
It's in the tank. Now, he did give this rambling speech, and he wouldn't give the mic over to the announcers.
Shocker.
He said that he just claimed that he's not actually leaving the show, that's a fraud and it's a lie. He says his spirit is going to remain in the room throughout the show, so he'll be there till the end.
And have pictures of poor children that are staying up late at night looking at his face in their dreams. Now, and we only have a little bit of time left, but I think it's worth mentioning there's this freakishly genius dude who is just wreaking havoc on Jeopardy because he knows the answer to every single question. And he's antisocial in a way, but he's smarter than anybody who's ever been on there, and I don't think he's ever going to lose again. What's his name?
His name's Matt Jackson. And yeah, he's won 7 shows in a row now. It's almost $200,000 worth of winnings too, so he's going for broke. He's a 23-year-old paralegal, and he said that when he got his chance, he kept repeating this mantra in his head, "I am not throwing away my shot." And he would say that to himself over and over and over, day in and day out, until he got on the show.
He sounds a little obsessive.
Now he's just ripping through opponents.
And focused. 5 minutes into the game, he's got like $15,000. And the other contestants are just looking like, oh, great. I got to be on with this guy.
Yeah. I get a shot at the Aleve second or third place
How does Alex
prize.
Make him?
I don't know. This guy is going to end up playing with the computer when they do that again, and he's going to win. He's going to beat the IBM computer.
Quite possible.
Yeah. All right. There you go. And that's it for the program. There doesn't seem to be enough time to get everything in.
Never is.
Well, we love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. We're on Twitter, at Pfaff Show, on Facebook as well. Like us. We have a little blue tab on the website where you can leave a free voicemail. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, who's here in the studio today. And enough about Ryan Hayden. He's not here, so we won't talk behind his back. Thanks to Ted and to Chris. I'm Phil. Can't wait to talk to you next time here on Phil's Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.